We were having a conversation about the readings. I didn't just start preparing for the homily right before Mass. But it was interesting because they're reading through the readings and it was like, this is kind of dark, you know? This is kind of an eye for an eye. And so it's like, is there another way to interpret this? Because here's, you know, God has created, it made Israel this vineyard, established everything, gave them everything they needed, and they produced unripe grapes. They produced rotten grapes. That's a better translation there. And so what does God do? He basically is going to destroy that vineyard. And he's going to let, you know, he is going to let weeds grow. He's going to command the clouds not to send rain upon it. It's not going to be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. So it's like, gosh, is that the kind of God we're dealing with? A God who responds in a kind of punishing way? Maybe this is kind of goes to Mark Twain saying of, it's not those passages of Scripture that I don't understand that bother me. It's those passages that I do understand that bother me. But let's take a look into this a little bit here. Look what how God addresses the people. I think of my friend, and the way he's using the word friend here, it's more like a beloved, all right? And for my friend, I had a fertile hillside, and I spaded it, and I cleared it of stones, and I planted the choicest vines, the good stuff, right? And then I built a watchtower and hewed out a wine press. I put some serious money into this. I put some infrastructure here, right? If I'm going to build a watchtower and a wine press, I'm looking for something that's going to be lasting, enduring. And then he looked for grapes, and he finds what? That it yielded wild grapes. So this is a parable referring to the people of God, the Israelites, who basically used everything that God had given them gave them the potential to produce great fruit, many graces and benefits for the people. And they enlisted themselves into just vicious type of living, a life full of vice, bloodshed, and everything that's associated with it. And so how does God respond then? Well, God has been working with the people. He's trying to extend himself, okay, and to reach out, but they are rejecting. So he lets it go. He really kind of just lets it go. He's not going to be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. So sometimes it's like, you know, God tries to appeal to us by the good. You know, like, look what you're indulging in the life of vice. But if you come over here, look at the freedom and the grace and the abundant life that I promise you. Well, that's great if that works, but what if that doesn't work? Well, then sometimes God just allows us to taste our own fruit, taste the fruit of our work, taste the consequences of sin. I remember I had a priest formator in seminary, and he had gone through a bout of alcoholism. He had to go get treatment. And I remember him he shared with me that he lives every day as a gift. That after going through that traumatic experience and basically getting to the point of helplessness, tasting the sin, he finally got it. He finally got it that life was a gift. Every day was a gift. But it wasn't until he had to taste the sin, you might say. So you might, this is kind of like, in a certain sense, God loves this people. This is his beloved. But he's going to, you know, they're choosing this direction. He's respecting their freedom. He's going to allow them to taste their sin. And they're going to go into exile. And interesting, we have a corresponding parable in the gospel. Another vineyard, right? And in this case, God even goes further. So in the first parable, we hear about all the things that God does and how he endows the people with all these talents, right? The choicest vines. But in the second parable, which is it's just a little bit different, but very similar, when it's time for harvest, he sends a representative. And the people reject the representative, right? And then he sends more representatives, and they start killing them. And then how far does he go? He says, well, I'll even send my own beloved son. And what do? They kill him. And so that's the end of it. And so what's the consequences? The kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce fruit. So in the first parable from Isaiah, we hear that God's allowing the people to taste the consequences of their sin. He is going at the level of justice, giving them their due, but he's also extending himself because he has been lenient. But think in the gospel how it's a movement from looking at the relationship between God and his people as one of a just relationship. You know, you're going to get what you deserve. You're going to bear fruit if you plant, right, and if you cultivate, to a parable, a similar setting with a vineyard, that it goes completely to mercy. But if mercy ends up being rejected, game over. And we can reject it. It was rejected, right? And Christ is mercy himself. It goes beyond the justice. And how do we get it? Because we're naive if we don't think that we fall into the same kind of attitudes and selfish way of living that the Israelite people did and the Pharisees and scribes. We all fall into that at times. So what's our challenge? How do we respond? Well, first of all, recognize that we can fall into those same kind of traps. But I think at a ground level, it's even deeper. Because in both scenarios, God gave a ton. He provided everything, the infrastructure, the talents. But then in both cases, neither the Israelites or the people Jesus was speaking with received those things as gifts. They didn't start off as, like my priest formator, recognizing that life was a gift. If you don't start off at the level that everything that you have, your breath, your time, your money, everything is a gift from God, then we will fall into the plight of what we read about in the scriptures of these individuals who produce rotten grapes, who end up killing the representative of the giver. So, it's easy to do because we live in a society of basically, my rights, right? And living according to, respecting the right to my life and respecting the rights that I have as an individual. Yeah, that's great. But if our lives stay in that level, then what's gonna happen is we're gonna move and shift because of our fallen human nature to living with an attitude of entitlement. And then from there, it's what? Basically killing, manipulating, doing whatever I can to get my own, right? And so going deeper to live at the level of gift, everything that I have is a gift from God. Most of us probably won't get it until maybe we've had a real crash in our lives. We've kind of hit a bottom and we recognize that, gosh, I don't have anything. But it doesn't have to be that way. Coming to Mass every Sunday, trying to live a life of prayer, trying to rely more and more upon God, grace transforms our hearts so that we can recognize and receive our lives and everything that we have as gift. And live accordingly versus living life as if everything is a right and I'm entitled to it. Big difference. Rights sound great, don't they? But what happens? Eye for an eye. Everybody ends up blind. As Christians, we're called to another level. That's the hard teaching. It is a hard teaching, but it is a beautiful teaching. Because it truly makes salvation possible for everyone. And so we ask the Holy Spirit, coming here to hear the Word of God, receiving mercy itself in the Eucharist, that our hearts might be transformed, that we could live our lives, relate to our family members, fulfill our jobs as if everything were gift. How that would transform our world.